tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview I did with tennis icon and guru Nick Bollettieri. Nick was the first to create a full-time tennis boarding school in Sarasota, Florida, and he has coached 10 of the number one players in the world, including, but not limited to, Andre Agassi, Jim Courier, Venus and Serena Williams, Boris Becker, Monica Seles, Brad Gilbert, Maria Sharapova. Nick is one of the most influential people in sports history. But for my purposes, Nick is the poster child for The Lynn Show. This is a man who followed his heart, who didn't plan, but simply was, from minute to minute, himself. And not only was he consistently himself, his entire career is based on helping people be themselves. You will hear him say over and over again that his gift is being able to read people. And what he means by that is that he can see what they do naturally. He doesn't try to make them someone they are not. Even when others have said, please, Nick, change this. This isn't going to work. Nick said, no, I'll figure out a way to use it. I will figure out a way to help my students. And by extension, everyone who comes in contact with Nick to be their own self. When Nick says it's a gift, I think he means it's a gift of his. But Nick is a gift to us all. It's a charming and delightful story from an articulate and interesting man. So hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources all on tap. Oh,
and welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lin Show is about being the person you really are, not the person you think you were supposed to be or have to be, not the person other people are, not the person other people told you you had to be or that you were, but the person that you really are. In my show, I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, and I do this because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And as I said in the run-up, Nick Politeri is the poster child for that. Nick is 100% himself, the real Nick Politeri. And when you listen, you hear it. It's in everything that he says. And not only does he demonstrate that so beautifully, he's charming, he's funny, he's inspirational. So here now is the one and only Nick Politeri. Okay, I'm here with Nick Politeri, and I'm interviewing Nick because he is the icon in the tennis world. How many years have you taught, Nick?
60 years.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Well, there's a serious mistake on the birth certificate, so I have my Italian paisans checking on it. They say it's 86. It's really 68. So we Italians know how to change everything.
Yes, I know.
But that's very important. I take care of myself. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never had a drug. And I enjoy life. Never use the word retirement with me.
So you were very young when you started.
I was very young.
Can you remember the very first time tennis seemed interesting to you, attracted you, called you, any of that?
I started tennis in my junior year in high school.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything about tennis.
Yeah.
I was an American football player. But I was a fairly good athlete. And they needed the sixth man when I went to Spring Hill College, Mobile, Alabama,
Jesus.
Run by the Jesuits. But I knew how to get along with the Jesuits as well.
You know how to get along with everybody.
With everybody. So I made the college team, played for 4 years, and I forgot about tennis. Went into the service. I flunked the test for the Naval Air Corps because Italians don't know how to read. But I passed the physical. So instead of being a Navy fighter pilot, I became a paratrooper. I jumped instead of driving the plane. Got out of the service, went to law school, and I needed a little money to put gas in the car to drive from North Miami Beach to the University of Miami. So my uncle said, there are 3 tennis courts at the park that was run by the city. Broken down courts, little Pepsi Cola machine with an umbrella from my pro shop. So I didn't know anything about teaching, but I went down the street, and we Italians know how to do this. I watched, and they said, you hold the racket this way. I said, gee, I can do that. So I began teaching for $3 an hour.
Okay, hold on. So are you saying you never had any tennis lessons?
Never. Never had a tennis lesson in my life.
I love this. It speaks to the idea that people have about how things have to happen, what you have to do.
May I add to that?
Of course.
That's what's wrong with society. They must understand there are no two people alike in the entire world. God gave me the gift to be able to look at a person, not judge 8 wives, but be able to read people. I didn't do too good in judging my wives, but I did very well in knowing that everybody was different and how to react to that person.
Okay, it seems to me that you have the ability to go where you need to go and learn what you need to learn, not in any prescribed way.
But I can improvise.
That's what I mean.
When I don't know what's going on and make the situation come out in a very positive way.
Okay, so where did you learn that?
My father said, try anything, son, and failure is part of learning. And remember something, when you fall down, my daddy said it's how you get back up. Most people who fall down think it's the end, not Nick Politeri.
As you said, so many people, when they fail, have no ability to go on.
Let's not say no ability.
Ah.
They don't have the people that surround them
or
inside them. And that could come from the heritage, from the family, from friends. So let me tell the people listening to this a little story.
Okay.
When I came home from grammar school, I grew up in a black Italian neighborhood in a town called North Pelham, New York, right outside New York City. This is how my grandmother greeted me, because my grandmother ran the whole neighborhood. Sonny, Vanacqua, give Grandma a big kiss. Yes, Grandma. You good boy in school today? Yes, Grandma. You no get in no trouble? No, Grandma. And you did everything teacher said? Yes, Grandma. Go out and play. All of you, coaches, parents, do you greet your children this way? Did you get an A today? Did you win today? So listen, everybody, I'm going to give you a little tip that the most famous coach, American football, coach of the Green Bay Packers, said, Nick, my team's never lost. We just ran out of time.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how you react to children. You judge children and people in business, people in life, by the effort. Even though the scoreboard may say, you lost by numbers. You won because you did everything that you can do. You're a winner. I spoke at West Point. The general took me in his room. He said, Lieutenant, you spoke our language today. And I said, sir, what did I say? What you said is, playing the best you can play is not acceptable. You play to win. That attitude gives you a chance to win, not to come in second place.
What I think I heard you say was that it isn't so much a question of the ability, it's a question of the motivation, it's a question of the intention.
It's a question of a person doing everything that they can do. Now remember, there are no two people alike in the world. Some people may have more athletic ability, they may do better in school. However, if the person does what they're capable of doing 100%, they're a winner. They can play on my team. It's the team, baby. No one can do it by themselves. When I was inducted to the International Hall of Fame, I said, I cannot accept this in the name of Nick Bollettieri. I accept this in the name of the team that supported me all my life. Remember, no one can do it by themselves. A great friend of mine, remember I told you I flunked the test for the Naval Air, Corps. However, my mind said, Nick, someday you will fly. And said I jumped. But 41 years later, baby, I flew with the Blue Angels. I made that dream come true. And you talk about teamwork and trust. When two jets come at each other at combined speed of 1,000 miles an hour and turn away 3 feet from each other, that's trust and that's teamwork. Teamwork is important in parenthood. Low self-esteem. You're subject to the devils. Drugs, violence, alcohol. If you can build the self-esteem of a child, they'll do better in school. They'll be able to say no to the devils that exist. When 60 Minutes interviewed me back in the early 80s, Morley Safer, he interviewed a sports psychiatrist from Stanford. And the sports psychiatrist said, this man is crazy. He beats kids up. He doesn't feed them. Takes them out of their home. He makes him wash his cars, which I did. So my mother is watching the television.
Oy.
She starts cursing at the television in Italian. Said to my father, Jimmy, why are they talking about our son this way? My father said, Mary, if you ain't nobody going to talk about you. And whatever they say, you say thank you and let the results of what you do in life do the talking. Remember, when you argue with a critic is like a pig. They want to take you down to their level, get dirty, get nasty. Not me. There was a big cherry tree around the block of where I lived. My buddies reached out on the branches to get the cherries. Not Nick Bollettieri. I went out on the branches, not worrying whether they would break or not. That's what's made Nick. I was willing to take chances.
Okay, so now we have you giving up on Miami
Law School.
Right. And going to play in these broken down courts.
Going to teach.
Oh, you started right out teaching.
I went to Henderson Park. Slim Harbert was the coach of coaches in the Miami area. I watched him hold the racket, shake hands, slide your hand down the racket to the grip, make it a little V, take it straight back, one, two, three, stop. I said, gee, I can do that. So I began teaching, $3 an hour, baby. But you know what I found out?
What?
Different people do different things. And God gave me the ability to adjust to the needs and ability of a person. Wow. So whatever Nick Bollettieri's done is able to read people. Monica Seles, many years ago, there was a tournament called Sports Goofy before the Orange Bowl. I had the best young American in the 12 and under. She reached the finals. The coach called me, Nick, 2-3. I said, congratulate my girl. No, she got beat by this girl. Nick, you better go to the Orange Bowl and look at it. So I go to the Orange Bowl. The guy running the tournament, can you tell me what court this girl is on? Court number 4, Nick. As I was walking between the courts, with bushes blocking, you couldn't see, I heard, ee! Ee! I said, what the heck is that? Sounds like an animal. I go around, I see this girl standing on the baseline, two hands on the right side, two hands on the other, and I gave her a scholarship. She became number one in the world, Monica Seles. I didn't change her.
No.
So whatever.
No, she changed the sport.
She changed the sport by taking her early, but not too many people hit with two hands on both sides.
No.
So that's the ability. I got a letter. There was a boy, 14 going on 15. His mother, Linda, wrote me a letter. Dear Nick, thank you for this scholarship. Would you please do this? Would you please change the baseball grip on my son's backhand? So I saw the boy playing. I said, hey, forget the backhand, baby. Hit all forehands. Jim Curry became number one in the world. Okay? And then the Agassi.
Okay, wait. Before we get there. So I got you teaching for $3 an hour. So what happened?
I went up a little bit.
Yeah, well, how?
By getting different positions. I then went to country club. The results of what I did, baby, did the marketing. Brian Godfrey became number 4 in the world in singles, number 1 in doubles. So the word began to spread. I then got a job in Springfield, Ohio. The director was Dr. Howard Dredge, outstanding dentist, who dedicated his life to the children of the city. Every Wednesday and Saturday, 1,500 kids, and I have the picture to show you, would come. All they had to pay was 25 cents.
Wow.
We taught them free. Then we ran a tournament before the national championships that be held in Kalamazoo for the best 18 and under boys of the country. Arthur Ashe, Grabner, Ralston, Passerell, all of them played in this tournament. So this lady came in and she said, Mr. Bollettieri, may I borrow a few balls? I said, yes, ma'am. She brought the balls back in. She said, what do I owe you? I said, nothing, dear. She said, well, you'll hear from me. A couple of weeks later, I got a phone call. Mr. Bollettieri, you've been recommended to be the director of tennis for the Rockefeller Hotels and start off in Puerto Rico and then be the family tennis coach for all the Rockefellers in New York at Terrytown. I said, oh, thank you. I didn't know. A few weeks later, he said, Mr. Bollettieri, there were 3 applicants left. You're down to number 3.
But how old were you when this happened?
Oh, I was 20, 26, 27.
Are you thinking at this point in your life that tennis is your life?
Ma'am, I never thought. If I thought, I'd never be where I am.
I believe you. You just put one foot in front of the other, right?
So, I go to Forest Hills, played on the grass that time, the U.S. Open. And that time, I had to jump over the fence. I was a nobody. So, I went in, I saw the coach, Eddie Moylan, and his assistant, Bill Parks. They said, we just got the job of being the director of the Rockefeller Hotel. I never said a word. Went to the phone after, called my daddy. He said, son, who told you that? I said, the guys who got the job, daddy. Don't say a word. 2 days later, I got the call.
Yeah.
You know who that lady was? Charlie Passerell's mother, who was the head of all Philip Morris for the Caribbean, who knew Lawrence Rockefeller personally.
Absolutely.
I got the job.
All right.
So I began there, and my whole career opened
up. Took off. How did you come here and do this?
By accident.
Of course.
After several years at Dorado Beach, I said, that's enough. I'm going to try to get a job in the country.
Dorado Beach, out of the country.
Puerto Rico.
Oh, sí.
Dorado Beach. Uh-huh. So I landed in Miami, called up my friend here, Mike DePalma Sr., and he said, Nick, there's a heck of a job open. There's a place called the Colony Beach Hotel on Longboat Key. Mm. So my sister and I, Julio and I, drove over. It was early in the morning. The surf was up. I said, oh, baby, I like this place. So Dr. Klauber interviewed me. I got the job. I began teaching at the Colony Beach Hotel, which became the number one adult tennis center of the world. So one day, a young girl comes in December. She was getting ready to play the Orange Bowl in Miami. Gave her the lesson, and I said, is your daddy going to pick you up? He said, no, I'm coming home with you. Coming home with me. She had her bags. She began living in my house. Carlene Bassett. 2 weeks later, a little Volkswagen pulls up. A little boy gets out, 12 years old, about 5'4". His daddy, 5'5". I heard about this boy from Buffalo. Hit a few forehands on court three with this cockamini grip, racked it around the back of his head. That's the new voluntary forehand. He changed the power game, Jimmy Arias. He moved into my house. Pretty soon, I had 10 in my house. Two or three wives divorced me.
Really?
Okay. I then bought a little club in Bradenton.
Sure, it was getting crowded.
I bought a little club and a motel. And then 2 years later, my friend Lewis Marks, whose daddy was Marks Toys, lent me $2 million. I bought 40 acres of land and built the first live-in sports tennis academy of the world.
Wow.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and you make this point over and over again that you don't have to plan. You just have to look.
And take advantage of the opportunity.
And take advantage of the opportunity.
If you don't, someone else will.
Well, they will or they won't, but you won't have it if you don't.
Remember, the sign of success of what I did is the world copied me. Now there are 7 academies just in this town of Bradenton. You build a court in your backyard, they call it an academy. So what makes you successful is when other people copy you. However, when you're successful and number one, you must get a little better every single day. You don't say, I've done it all. You keep going. So otherwise, people will take.
So how did you do that?
Started creating champions, baby. 10 number ones of the world, dear. And then many boys and girls, college scholarships. Very important because the majority of people should go to college. We were very fortunate. And that'll be a great story that we'll do someday of how to prepare for your tennis career. Today, a young boy like Agassi, 5'9", 5'10", 16, 17, turning pro, competing against 6'6", 6'4", much more difficult. So today, whoever's listening, only exception 1 or 2 out of 1,000 should turn pro directly from high school. Try college. Then try the tour. You have to know the individual. No two people are alike. Learn from them. Listen. Learn everything about them. And sometimes, when the style is not pretty, one of my students, Brad Gilbert, his strokes were so ugly, I had to wear 2 pair of glasses. My eyes were so bloodshot. But he won by his mind. He beat Becca. He beat Agassi. So sometimes, people may look unorthodox, but if they do it well, you let it be.
Yeah, I really want to reiterate here that all of this started observing something that someone was doing and saying, I can do that too.
You steal legally like we Italians do if they're doing something better than you, put it on to what you're doing, and you keep going to stay in first place.
It seems to me that what you're saying over and over again is that there is no one-size-fits-all anything.
Young lady, you just said it all, and I have to be going now, but let me say this. Your last comment was the comment we should leave with the people that are listening to this. And by the way, I enjoyed this interview. I look forward to doing lots more.
Thank you. So, I hope that you can hear what I heard. And that is that this is a man who was minute to minute in his life who he really is. And when I say to him towards the end of this interview that he seems to believe there's no one-size-fits-all solution, he confirms that. He says he watched these tennis players, these children, and he didn't try to make them something they were not. He used what they were. He allowed them to be themselves as he himself was allowed to be himself. I hope that having listened to Nick, you are inspired to ask yourself if you are being yourself or trying to alter yourself to be something you think would be a better version. Well, as always, I hope that you got something from this show, something that made you think about yourself, something that inspired you, something that tickled you, something you learned about sport, something that'll bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. Like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have got